Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, this is JT, the host of The Paranormal Sun, coming to you live from Tower Studios here in Middle Earth. And you are listening to my friend Al on the Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I have B.B. Griffith back on the show. B.B. last appeared on my show 2 years ago, and he's back with a brand new book out, The Wind Thief. It is a fantastic read. I encourage everybody to go out there to buy B.B.'s books, and all of his links will be at the bottom of this episode. I'll be right back with my conversation with B.B. Griffith right after these brief messages.
Are you interested in all things paranormal, ghosts, EVPs, cryptozoology, and the history behind the legends we all love, but you don't have an hour out of your day to listen to another podcast? Well, then you should listen to Ghostly Paranormal, where we talk about all of those subjects and condense it down into 15 minutes or less. Check out Ghostly Paranormal.
I would like to welcome back to the show one of my favorite authors, B.B. Griffith. I truly mean that. I love the way B.B. writes. He has written numerous books. I personally own two of his book series. We will talk about those and the other books Brad has written, along with his brand new book from the Vanish series that was just released, The Wind Thief. Welcome back to the show, B.B. Griffith.
Hi, Al. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
I can't believe it's been almost 2 years since you've been on the show. What you been up to the last couple of years?
Has it been 2 years?
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, I come up in June. It'll be, I think, 2021 you're on the show last.
Wow, time flies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I've been trying to write. You know, I do have that new book out. I'm revisiting the Vanished series, which is probably my most popular series. So I'm very excited to be back in that world. I started that in 2016, and then I left it for about 7 years, and now I'm finally back into it. So excited about that. But other than that, yeah, we're just living through these crazy times, I guess. How about yourself? Everything okay on your end?
Yeah, everything's going great over here. I mean, the podcast is doing great. I think last time we talked, I was writing my first novel, and I just finished it just a few days ago. So I'm like,
hey, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, taking me 55 years to write it, you know, but it's done. I remember you telling me, just write the book.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that a writer finishes, an author finishes. So I think you can call yourself one. You can call yourself one right now. So congrats. That's great.
Thank you very much. You know, and with the history you have with all your books, you know, I'm really impressed. And I truly mean that. I mean, you're one of my favorite authors. I love the way you write.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Before we get into the Vanished series, which is, I totally love that series, and your newest book, you know, The Wind Thief, let's talk about a couple of your other book series you have out, the Tournament series. How many books are in that series, and what's that series about?
Yeah, The Tournament is my first series. It was the one that I kind of debuted with and put me at least initially on the map. I wasn't a very big spot on the map, but it was on there. And it has four books, and it's about a sort of a near future world in which there is a secret underground tournament that decides a lot of the fates and fortunes and political aspirations of our societies. And so each country, you know, rather than resorting to, war or the thing, all of the disasters you see today, everybody got together. Some of the elites got together. The leadership got together and decided to just do this old school style. So kind of a little bit like gladiator style. Field a team of three, and it's team versus team, and whoever wins, that decides the issue. So it's kind of a cool techno thriller blend of epic, you know, espionage, intrigue. There's a lot of cool action, and it follows sort of a hapless character. His name is Frank Young Smith. He's one of my favorite characters. He's just living a 9-to-5 life, fairly miserable, but falls rear end first into this underground world that sort of changes his life, and he kind of blows up the whole scene too, and turns it into a global phenomenon. So it's a really cool 4-book series story arc. Starts with Blue Fall. It's been out. I published that one, first one, in 2011. I've done some, actually went back and did a few, I wouldn't call it rewrite. I guess you could call them some rewrites, some extensive updating, so that it was good for today. I think it holds up really well. And then I got them all the audiobooks done there. So that's been a big project of mine too, making all of my books accessible to the audiobook squad as well. So
a lot of authors, when they do the second edition, they add some more or take out some of a book.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing that's afforded you when you are a self-published author, or you mm-hmm. own your rights top to bottom. I mean, you can do whatever you want with it. I love all my stories, but yeah, I'm a better writer than I was in 2011. And I think that I wanted to make sure that it stood the test of time. All of the you know, even the references that I had, some stuff just gets out of date. But thankfully, you know, when you have the master files, you can get in there and stay true to the spirit of the book and the story of the book, and really not, I'm not fundamentally changing anything, but you can touch it up and give it a little facelift here and there.
How do you come up with like some of your characters? How do they come to you?
Well, a lot of my characters come to me. A few of the most recent, the Vanished series, and some of these others, Gordon Pope, I actually kind of either through dreams or daydreams. When I'm not just not thinking about anything else, I kind of let my mind wander. My author bio says that I sit on my porch a lot, and that's true. I do a lot of that, and you know, for a lot of reasons, it's great to just sit out there. Uh-huh. But that's where a lot of my ideas kind of come from, just when you're zoned, you know.
Yeah, I personally don't own the tournament series yet. That's on my wish list. The next series I'm talking about is the Gordon Pope series. I do own that. I do own that complete series. I haven't read it yet. I get so okay. many books that sent to me from publishers and authors, and I do have that. It's on my shelf next to read. Matter of fact, after the book I'm reading now, my wife and my sister-in-law, my sister, they've read the series, and they said it was fantastic. So without giving too much away, what is the Gordon Pope series about?
Yeah, the Gordon Pope series is, Gordon Pope is the centerpiece and the main character. It's a trilogy that follows him, and it's set in kind of gritty Baltimore locales, Maryland locales. And he is just a genuinely great person. He's a good person, but his life isn't easy. And he's a child psychiatrist who has gone through and is going through a terrible divorce, and has a lot of, you know, personal issues, but he really deep down is truly, he just wants to help kids. And in Baltimore, you know, it's a tough space. So he gets a lot of requests for help from the police out there. And the story kicks off with the first book is called The Sleepwalkers. And it's about sort of a series of crimes that kids commit in their sleep. And this fascinated me because I read about this. It's true. I mean, people have committed crimes in their sleep. Uh-huh. I think that's terrifying, but also fascinating, right? The way the mind works. And so that's kind of where he's brought in to investigate that. And it gets more chilling from there. So that's sort of the kickoff of that whole series. But yeah, but it follows him through two other crazy adventures. The second book is called Mind Games, and then it finishes up with Shadowland. And I've been asked to, you know, revisit that as well. That's another fan favorite. I wish I could be writing in all of these series at the same time. But bottom line is, yeah, I would never sleep.
Right. Gordon Pope series. I mean, when I bought the book off of Amazon, it's a pretty thick book. It's book 1, 2, and 3 all in one book. Now, when they were first released, were they individual books?
Yes. So I do have all of my series are packaged individually. The paperbacks are individual. And then I also offer, you know, at a discount, a combined 3-book single volume. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And the combined books, a lot of people like them. They're cheaper and they're just a single thing, but it is thick. they get up 700-800 pages and they're big. They're kind of statement piece books. That's for sure. They're all also offered individually. And then on audiobook as well. I had Kevin Reed, who is a great voice talent, do the voices for that entire series.
How's that working out for you, for the audiobooks?
It's great. I think it's great to be able to do that. First of all, it's a huge undertaking and it is an investment. It takes a little while to pay off, I think, just because you're involved in a production studio. If you do it professionally, I have a production studio that, you know, auditions actors, and they do, as I'm sure you know, all the work involved in post-production for audio it takes a while. It takes a long time, but it does give you the opportunity to go through your book in an entirely different perspective. I find myself writing now future installments in these series, thinking about how best they would play to an audio, you know, version. And ultimately, I think that's an even better way to write because it makes it more narrative. The flow is a lot cleaner. I think if everybody wrote books thinking about how they sounded aloud, you would have a lot tighter, faster, more entertaining stories out there. So, I found that it really has helped me as a writer, but also it's provided access to the books to a whole different audience. A lot of people, they don't like to hold the big old heavy books, like you said, or they can't read so well, right? I don't have access to large print capabilities yet, but the audiobooks are really great for that entire audience that just has tired eyes and doesn't want to do the reading right now. So,
you ever thought about maybe doing it yourself, you know, audio out of your own mouth, or are you more comfortable with somebody else reading it?
I tried. I thought I could do it. I admire everybody that does the audio themselves. I, you know, got all the gear and shut myself into a closet and tried to stop my, you know, breathing and get away from the ambient noise of all the heaters kicking on and the clicks. And it's harder than I thought. And so when it was all said and done and I listened to it, I was like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. So and then when you hear the actual, you know, actors, professional actors doing it, and then a professional post, you know, production, it's just night and day, in my opinion, not to say that it can't be done. And I know a lot of authors who have done a great job with audio themselves, but it's another thing that is a lot of work on your plate for sure.
Mm-hmm. Even myself, I tried to go and I went back and I did the audio version of my first chapter of my book. And I was like, oh my goodness, furnace kicking on or pipes creaking or, I mean, all that you have to, you know, comes into play and you really need and I have a nice studio here, but because I had my own video production company for 20 years. So, yeah, so I do know the work that's put into post-production and getting the right people lined up, you know.
Yeah, if you don't have a studio in there and you don't know what you're doing, I mean, somebody goes and opens the garage and there goes 4 hours of work, you know?
Right.
So
now you have two other like standalone books, Witch of the Water and Las Vegas Luck Magic.
Mm-hmm. Witch of the Water is a novella that I wrote that I just had this story that came to me during after my son was born. He had a lot of health issues that have resolved themselves, congenital heart defects that they didn't resolve themselves. We got them fixed and he's fine now. And he's doing great, thank God. But it was a pretty dark time and I was up all the time. We were all up doing all sorts of things, caretaking. And I found myself writing in 2-3 in the morning just to kind of stay sane, at least get myself out of my own head. And the book that came out of it was great. It was a story that wasn't quite long enough to be a full-blown novel, but it was a very powerful short story or novella. And it follows a young boy who is tasked with upkeep of a series of lighthouses and, you know, a light. And he learns that the reason that he's got to do this is because...
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customized coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You know, the light keeps a monster at bay. It's a very kind of creepy, claustrophobic, slow burn, but pretty powerful short story. And that was just a one-off. And my other one-off, Las Vegas Luck Magic, is not intended to be a one-off. It's the start of a series that I really enjoyed. It's sort of a contemporary fantasy set in modern day Las Vegas where there are, you know, people can trade luck. Luck's like a commodity that, that people can capture and trade and own. And, I have a 3-book series there planned out. But again, it's just I wish I had all the time in the world. I can only focus on one at a time so far. So hopefully I'll come back to that one.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you plan any other standalone books in the future?
You know, I am having a lot of fun writing in this vanished world again. And so I have another one planned out for this, another two planned out for that. And then I kind of will have to see where I like to listen to my readers, like where they want me to go. I have ideas in all of them. Sometimes it's easier for me once I get rolling in a world to kind of stick in that one. So I think I might in the foreseeable future be in the World of the Vanished series.
I'll be right back with my conversation with B.B. Griffith, where we talk about his new book, The Wind Thief, part of the Vanished series, right after these brief messages.
Do exorcisms intrigue you? Do you like scary urban legends? Are you fascinated with history and ghostly lore of haunted places? Well, if you answered yes to any of these, please check out Hauntingly Yours, a podcast for the paranormal. I'm your host, DC O'Rourke. I invite you to get together with me and the rest of our para family each and every week to hear haunting tales from across the globe. The show is available on all podcast players. Please do not forget to review and subscribe.
And talking about the Vanished series, that's my, I can't say it's my favorite, because I have the Gordon Pope and I have the Vanished. So I love the Vanished series, so I'm going to stick with that. You know, that's Follow the Crow, Beyond the Veil, The Coyote Way, and your newest book that just came out, The Wind Thief, and I just finished that one. That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
So, like the tournament series, I mean, I own the complete series. The new characters that's in the Wind Thief, how did you come up with that? Do they just come to you in your sleep, or do you have something planned out that way? I mean, how you write the book with the new characters?
So, I always like the point. I think that the reason that the Vanished series, part of the reason is that it resonates, is the unique way that the narrative is written. So it's first person, it's multiple point of view, and it's first person present tense, which is, you know, kind of a, it's a kind of a unique way of telling a story. So I love to do that because you really like, you take on the eyes of the character as the action unfolds, you are there, you're right on their shoulder watching it all happen. And I love experimenting with different points of view. And so every character in the story throughout all three of the books, anyone that has shown up at any one time, I often like to bring back and then retell or, you know, provide new perspective on the series through their eyes. And I think that's part of the cool aspect of being able to tell in that style is that you get to inhabit another brain and see really how a lot of people can take a single event or plot point, you know, very differently. And I think that that's part of the reason that it really has resonated, is that a lot of people tell me that it feels like they're sitting around a campfire with these characters when the book unfolds, and that they're telling, you know, a campfire story, and everyone's there. And it's sort of has this intimate effect that I think makes people really, really identify with the characters and want to hear more and more about what they're doing and where they're going. And so these characters, I will sometimes write them in to help initially further the plot, and then find that they have lives, take on lives of their own kind of in my brain. So I go back and I bring them back and revisit through their eyes. And it's easy to write when you just think, okay, what's this person thinking when this happens? Like, if you are this person, what, you know, if you were inhabiting this brain, how would they take this differently? And it's kind of a great exercise in getting outside of your own head and taking on the perspective of something else.
Without giving anything away, I mean, do you already have, like you said, this is actually book 4 in the series. So book 5 and 6, I mean, do you already have that planned out in your head, or?
Yeah, I do have that. I have book 5 as chapter sketched out. It's got 30 chapters, and I got it in this little notebook right here in my hand. I chapter sketched them all out, but I do what I would probably call a detailed abstract of each chapter. So I don't write the words, but the plot points are all there and they flow. And then I have a less detailed abstract of book 6. I know sort of what I call the baseball diamond of the major plot points that get you from home to first and second and then all the way around. So that's built out in for book 6.
Yeah, I love the way your character, like you said, you know, it's from their eyes. Yeah, like each chapter, you know, one chapter will be on Grant, and that another one will be on Owen and Carolyn, you know. I love that way, you know, because, you know, you're looking at that from their eyes. You know, they have gotten older too since the last.
When I jump back in, it's 10 years after the events of the first 3. Yeah, that was also cool to see. Like, how do these people look in their 40s? How do they look when they're, you know, older? We left them when they were teenagers, when Grant was a teenager, and now he's older. So how does everyone grow around them? I mean, the key to Vanished is it's realism, which is funny because it's a series about Navajo spiritual beliefs, and it's a bunch of, you know, magical realism, but that only works, that side of it, the kind of paranormal and the supernatural side, only works if you ground it in these characters that feel very real. And so I always work to keep the real part of magical realism in the books.
Yeah, I started reading. I was like, it was starting to come back to me, you know, because it's been a while since the last book. I, you know, like learning these characters all over again, you know, picking up real quick that they've aged, you know. And I really like that. You know, you're not stagnant on your writing. You know, you're progressing these characters along with the years going by.
The whole series kind of captures and is about life and death and crossing the veil and what that looks like and how you have people on all sides of life and death, and how nothing is really gone forever, right? And so in order to do that, you have to have your characters get old. I mean, I think in the fullness of the character, from going young all the way to old and then beyond the veil, that's kind of where you really find, I think, the best telling of this entire story. So yeah, if you got to have them get old, you know, that's real.
Still tossing around the title of my book. You know, I had it titled. Now I think I'm going to stray away from that because it's not really going with that.
Yeah, I always do that. I think I have my titles nailed 4 or 5 times, and then it always changes. I also like to run them all by my wife. She's very good at titles, and she'll be like, I don't really get that one. And I'll be like, oh, huh. I mean, I think all of my books, well, most of my books sort of have this paranormal, supernatural, otherworldly edge. The Tournament less so than others, but they're all about life, but a little different. You know, the world, but a little different, a little beyond, right? And I think that that's a major market in reading. I think people like to read about that stuff.
Yeah, my sister-in-law, she's a huge, huge fan of yours. And she was asking me, like, where she could get a autographed copy of, you know, say your latest book. Is there a way to get an autographed copy?
You know, I'm trying to figure that out. And I've been asked a few times. I don't currently have a way to do that. But I think I'm going to work on setting up like a shop on my website where I can provide, you know, personalized and autographed, you know, versions of the books to readers that want that. I'm very touched whenever I hear that. I think that's so awesome. I would love to be able to get autographed copies to the people that want them. I think that I have a couple of autographed copies of some books that I really love. So for sure. Yeah. Tell her TBD. It is coming.
Yeah. Her name is Joanna Bronozzi. I'm gonna have to throw that out there because she's,
okay.
She's a huge, huge fan.
Thank you, Joanna. I appreciate you.
Your style of writing, because she loves your style of writing. I mean, I think you had mentioned before, like, you know, you sit on your front porch a lot. Do you get most of your thoughts or, you know, through, like, say, going into a cabin or writing by yourself, or does it matter?
I take my little notebook. When I set out to sketch out a new book, you know, I decide I go chapter by chapter. I mean, it starts small. I do my story arcs and the major plot points, and then I go chapter by chapter. And when I do that, I do like to get away. So, you know, I go to up in, you know, there's a couple of cool little cabins not too far away from here up in Colorado Springs. You can kind of get back into the woods. I've been out there. And then I also, of course, given the settings of the book in the Southwest, I'll drive to Santa Fe, where I really like to just walk around and see, you know, kind of think and have some coffee or some really great mezcal, and then sit down and sketch out. And I often find that the drive out there, so, you know, I'm in Denver, the drive out there, it's about 6 hours, is great. Just time when you're alone in your thoughts, you really can't get away from yourself, right, in the car. So that's a time when I really find that I can at least, you know, take a good stab at rolling over a bunch of potential plot points in my mind. You do have to have some time alone, mm-hmm, to figure it all out. Whether that's in the shower or in the middle of the night or just at a coffee shop.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, in the middle of the night, do you ever get up and, oh, it just came to you. You have to jot it down in your notebook.
I keep it next to, you know, on my nightstand. And then I'll also have like a little, in my phone, I have a little note that is titled Story Ideas. And I'll jot stuff down in there too. Or all of a sudden it'll come to me that like what I just wrote makes no sense. So I gotta go back and revisit this or that. So yeah, it's good to have that kind of, because otherwise you forget it. Just in the hustle and bustle of the day, it goes away pretty quick or takes a sideline.
As you get older, anything special you want to add to your bucket list? Anything, any place you want to go, or do you have a bucket list?
Yeah, I still work full time. I work in digital marketing, and I write full time and I work full time. I find that I kind of am doing two full time jobs, and my bucket list includes, you know, being able to go full time author and being able to do that so that I continue to love writing, uh-huh, and I don't turn it into something that, you know, gives me a lot of anxiety or pressure to produce, right? Uh-huh. So that's really my goal in the short term, because I am picking up a lot of steam. Thankfully, I'm really blessed to be picking up some steam on the Vanish series. I like to call myself a 13-year overnight success on that. You know, I'm coming to the point where I need to, you know, start to really think about how I can make this my living and do it so that I still want to write as much as I do right now. Because, you know, as we all know, you can take your hobbies and turn them into your job. I mean, you run the risk of killing your joy there. So it's a fine line you got to walk.
Well, I was really excited when you said that The Wind Thief was coming out and you're adding to the Vanish series. I mean, I was really stoked. I can't wait to get that book, you know. And as soon as I've seen it came out, I ordered it, you know. Yeah, like I said, it's a fantastic book, and you're doing a great job with the series. I think it'll do well.
Thank you. Yeah, I've had so many nice letters and people reach out to me via my Facebook page. And you know, when you step away from a series for as long as I have, and I did because I didn't have the story that I felt that the series deserved, and then it came to me. You know, it just took 6-7 years.
Right.
So when I had it, I put it on paper. You're always nervous. I mean, whenever I publish a book, I'm nervous it's just going to miss the mark. But especially in a series that I think means this much to people, because it deals with a lot of heavy themes in ways that I hope are kind of true and honest and sometimes funny, but also very heartfelt. And yeah, I was scared to death. And thankfully, it seems that at least to date, it has struck a chord. So that's all you can ask for, really, as a writer.
You know what, Brad? I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your books with us. And where can people get a hold of you or get your books at?
Digital headquarters, bbgriffith.com. That's where you can find links to all my books and my audiobooks. And also my Facebook page. I'm active there. I'm always interacting with my readers. So you can look me up, author BB Griffith, shoot me an email or a comment or a message. I try to get back to every single one of them. And I love hearing about anything that any of my readers have on their mind.
Well, I know here in Ohio, you have a fan base, some groupies.
I loved it.
With my sister, Carla, and my wife, Millie, and my sister-in-law, Joanna, that love your books. And so, yeah, I mean, you're popular in this household anyway.
I love it. That's what matters. That's great to hear.
Well, Brad, thank you for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Al. It's always great to talk with you. I hope we get to talk. I hope it's not 2 more years before we get to chat again.
Thank you, B.B. Griffith, for that fantastic interview. I do encourage all of you to go to his website. I'll put the links down at the bottom of this episode, where you can pick up his books, shoot him a message. He does have some fantastic book series out there. I own 2 of them, and I know they are great reads. I will see you all in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghosts in the Valley podcast.